Chapter 30. How Sir Elias and Sir Tristram fought together for the truage, and how Sir Tristram slew Elias in the field. Not for then, when all this was said, they could find no knight that would do battle with him. "Sir King," said they all, "there is no knight that dare fight with Elias." "Alas," said King Mark, then am I utterly ashamed and utterly destroyed, unless that my nephew Sir Tristram will take the battle upon him." "Wit you well," they said all, "he had yesterday overmuch on hand, and he is weary for travail and sore wounded." "Where is he?" said King Mark. "Sir," said they, "he is in bed to repose him." "Alas," said King Mark, "but I have the succour of my nephew Sir Tristram. I am utterly destroyed for ever." Therewith one went to Sir Tristram, there he lay, and told him what King Mark had said. And therewith Sir Tristram arose lightly, and put on him a long gown, and came afore the king and all the lords. And when he saw them all so dismayed, he asked the king and the lords what tidings were with them. "Never worse," said the king. And therewith he told him all how he had word of Elias to find a knight to fight for the truage of Cornwall. "And none can I find." "And as for you," said the king, "and all the lords, we may ask no more of you for shame, for through your hardiness yesterday ye saved all our lives." Note 1. Page 61. "Sir," said Sir Tristram, "now I understand ye would have my succour. Reason would that I should do all that lieth in my power to do, saving my worship and my life, howbeit I am sore bruised and hurt. And sithen Sir Elias proffereth so largely, I shall fight with him, or else I will be slain in the field, or else I will deliver Cornwall from the old truage. And therefore lightly call his messenger, and he shall be answered. For as yet my wounds be green, and they will be sorer a seven night after than they be now. And therefore he shall have his answer that I will do battle to morn with him." Then was the messenger departed, brought before King Mark. "Hark, my fellow," said Sir Tristram, "go fast unto thy lord, and bid him make true assurance on his part for the truage, as the king here shall make on his part. And then tell thy lord, Sir Elias, that I, Sir Tristram, King Arthur's knight, and knight of the Table Round, will, as to morn, meet with thy lord on horseback, to do battle as long as my horse may endure, and after that to do battle with him on foot to the utterance." The messenger beheld Sir Tristram from the top to the toe, and therewithal he departed, and came to his lord, and told him how he was answered of Sir Tristram. And therewithal was made hostage on both parties, and made it as sure as it might be, that whether party had the victory, so to end. And then were both hosts assembled on both parts of the field, without the castle of Tintagel, and there was none but Sir Tristram and Sir Elias armed. So when the appointment was made, they departed in sunder, and they came together with all the might that their horses might run. And either knight smote other so hard that both horses and knights went to the earth. Not for then they both lightly arose and dressed their shields on their shoulders, with naked swords in their hands, and they dashed together, that it seemed a flaming fire about them. Thus they traced and traversed, and hew on helms and hauberks, and cut away many cantels of their shields, and either wounded other passing sore, so that the hot blood fell freshly upon the earth. Page 62. And by then they had foughten the mountenance of an hour. Sir Tristram waxed faint and forbled, and gave sore aback. That saw Sir Elias, and followed fiercely upon him, and wounded him in many places. And ever Sir Tristram traced and traversed, and went froward him here and there, and covered him with his shield as he might, all weakly, that all men said he was overcome, for Sir Elias had given him 20 strokes against one. Then was there laughing of the Sessoyne's party, and great dole on King Mark's party. "Alas," said the king, "we are ashamed and destroyed all for ever. For as the book saith, Sir Tristram was never so matched, but if it were Sir Lancelot. Thus, as they stood and beheld both parties, that one party laughing and the other party weeping, Sir Tristram remembered him of his lady, La Beale Isoud, that looked upon him, and how he was likely never to come in her presence. Then he pulled up his shield that erst hung full low, and then he dressed up his shield unto Elias, and gave him many sad strokes, 20 against 1, and all to break his shield and his hauberk, that the hot blood ran down to the earth. Then began King Mark to laugh, and all the Cornishmen, and that other party, to weep. And ever Sir Tristram said to Sir Elias, Yield thee. Then when Sir Tristram saw him so staggering on the ground, he said, Sir Elias, I am right sorry for thee, for thou art a passing good knight as ever I met withal, except Sir Lancelot. Therewithal Sir Elias fell to the earth, and there he died. What shall I do, said Sir Tristram unto King Mark, for this battle is at an end. Then they of Elias's party departed, and King Mark took of them many prisoners, to redress the harms and the scathes that he had of them, and the remnant he sent into their country to borrow out their fellows. Reader's footnote, the word borrow, B-O-R-O-W, means ransom. Return to text. Then was Sir Tristram searched and well healed. Yet for all this King Mark would fain have slain Sir Tristram. Page 63. But for all that ever Sir Tristram saw or heard by King Mark, yet would he never beware of his treason, but ever he would be there as Beale Isoud was. Chapter 31. How at a great feast that King Mark made, an harper came and sang the lay that Dinadan had made. Now will we pass of this matter, and speak we of the harpers that Sir Lancelot and Sir Dinadan had sent into Cornwall. And at the great feast that King Mark made for joy that the Sessoins were put out of his country, then came Eliot the harper with the lay that Dinadan had made, and secretly brought it unto Sir Tristram, and told him the lay that Dinadan had made by King Mark. And when Sir Tristram heard it, he said, O Lord Jesu, that Dinadan can make wonderly well and ill, there as it shall be. Sir, said Eliot, dare I sing this song afore King Mark? Yea, on my peril, said Sir Tristram, for I shall be thy warrant. Then at the meet came in Eliot the harper, and because he was a curious harper, men heard him sing the same lay that Dinadan had made, and which spake the most villainy by King Mark of his treason that ever man heard. When the harper had sung his song to the end, King Mark was wonderly wroth, and said, Thou harper, how durst thou be so bold on thy head to sing this song afore me? Sir, said Eliot, wit you well, I am a minstrel, and I must do as I am commanded of these lords that I bear the arms of. And, sir, wit ye well that Sir Dinadan, a knight of the Table Round, made this song, and made me sing it afore you. Thou sayest well, said King Mark, and because thou art a minstrel thou shalt go quit, but I charge thee, hie thee fast out of my sight. So the harper departed, and went to Sir Tristram, and told him how he had sped. Then Sir Tristram let make letters as goodly as he could to Lancelot and to Sir Dinadan. Page 64. And so he let conduct the harper out of the country. But to say that King Mark was wonderly wroth, he was, for he deemed that the lay that was sung afore him was made by Sir Tristram's counsel, wherefore he thought to slay him and all his well-willers in that country. Chapter 32. How King Mark slew by treason his brother Boudwin, for good service that he had done to him. Now turn we to another matter that fell between King Mark and his brother, that was called the good Prince Boudwin, that all the people of the country loved passing well. So it befell on a time that the miscreant Saracens landed in the country of Cornwall, soon after these Sessoins were gone. And then the good Prince Boudwin, at the landing, he erased the country privily and hastily. Reader's footnote, the word erased, A-R-A-I-S-E-D, means raised or levied. Return to text. And or it were day, he let put wild fire in three of his own ships, and suddenly he pulled up the sail, and with the wind he made those ships to be driven among the navy of the Saracens. And to make short tale, those three ships set on fire all the ships, that none were saved. And at point of the day the good Prince Baudouin, with all his fellowship, set on the miscreants with shouts and cries, and slew to the number of 40,000, and left none alive. When King Mark wist this, he was wonderly wroth that his brother should win such worship, and because his prince was better beloved than he in all that country, and that also Baudouin loved well Sir Tristram, therefore he thought to slay him. And thus, hastily, as a man out of his wit, he sent for Prince Baudouin and Anglides his wife, and bade them bring their young son with them, that he might see him. All this he did to the intent to slay the child as well as his father, for he was the falsest traitor that ever was born. Alas for his goodness and for his good deeds, this gentle Prince Baudouin was slain. Page 65. So when he came with his wife Anglides, the king made them fair semblant till they had dined, and when they had dined, King Mark sent for his brother, and said thus, "Brother, how sped you when the miscreants arrived by you? Meseemeth it had been your part to have sent me word, that I might have been at that journey, for it had been reason that I had had the honour, and not you." "Sir," said the Prince Baudouin, "it was so that, and I tarried till, that I had sent for you, those miscreants had destroyed my country." "Thou liest, false traitor," said King Mark, "for thou art ever about for to win worship from me, and put me to dishonour, and thou cherishest that I hate." And therewith he struck him to the heart with a dagger, that he never after spake a word. Then the Lady Anglides made great dole, and swooned, for she saw her lord slain afore her face. Then was there no more to do, but Prince Baudouin was despoiled and brought to burials. But Anglides privily gat her husband's doublet and his shirt, and that she kept secretly. Then was there much sorrow and crying, and great dole made Sir Tristram, Sir Dinas, Sir Fergus, and so did all knights that were there, for that prince was passingly well beloved. So La Beale Isoud sent unto Anglides the Prince Baudouin's wife, and bade her avoid lightly or else her young son, Alisander le Orphelin, should be slain. When she heard this, she took her horse and her child, and rode with such poor men as durst ride with her. Page 66. Chapter 33. How Anglides, Baudouin's wife, escaped with her young son, Alisander le Orphelin, and came to the castle of Arundel. Notwithstanding, when King Mark had done this deed, yet he thought to do more vengeance, and with his sword in his hand he sought from chamber to chamber to seek Anglides and her young son. And when she was missed, he called a good knight that hight Sadoc, and charged him by pain of death to fetch Anglides again and her young son. So Sadoc departed and rode after Anglides, and within 10 mile he overtook her, and bade her turn again and ride with him to King Mark. "Alas, fair knight," she said, "what shall ye win by my son's death or by mine? I have had overmuch harm and too great a loss." "Madam," said Sadoc, "of your loss is dole and pity. But, madam," said Sadoc, "would ye depart out of this country with your son, and keep him till he be of age, that he may revenge his father's death? Then would I suffer you to depart from me, so ye promise me to revenge the death of Prince Baudouin." "Ah, gentle knight, Jesu thank thee, and if ever my son, Alisander le Orphelin, live to be a knight, he shall have his father's doublet and his shirt with the bloody marks, and I shall give him such charge that he shall remember it whilst he liveth." And therewithal Sadoc departed from her, and either betook other to God. And when Sadoc came to King Mark, he told him faithfully that he had drowned young Alisander, her son. And thereof King Mark was full glad. Now turn we unto Anglides, that rode both night and day by adventure out of Cornwall, and little and in few places she rested, but ever she drew southward to the seaside, till by fortune she came to a castle that is called Magoons, and now is called Arundel in Sussex.